Hi, I'm Pastor Torrin Brooks, and welcome to Faith Christian Church. So glad you decided to join us today. For the next 30 minutes, we're going to be looking through God's Word and finding ways for it to apply to our lives today. Hope you enjoy this morning's sermon. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to Acts 27. This is one of my favorite stories because I like ships. I think they're great. In fact, it wasn't too long after we moved here, I told my wife, I've got to get a boat. It's true. I said, I got to get a boat. And I drove down the road, and I saw this beautiful, it was a 9-passenger pontoon boat, had a nice little cover on it. And I said, honey, see, that's the boat I want. And next to this boat was this little canoe. And she said, yes, that may be the boat you want, but that's the boat we can afford. So the canoe's out in the shed now. Every now and then I take my kids out in. They love it. But Paul, in the Bible, when we've been studying, talking about the life of Paul, Paul just never had a good thing with boats. Let me tell you something. And one of the stories is just one of the shipwrecks he was in. Now listen, if you get shipwrecked once in a boat, it should tell you something. Don't get back in a boat. If you get shipwrecked twice in a boat, it ought to tell you something. You don't belong in the boat. So why in the world would a person who's been shipwrecked before get back on the boat again? Well, this time he was under arrest, so it wasn't really part of his fault. But my wife told me I needed to be inventive with this, because I had a point with it. She goes, are you going to put a title to this sermon today? I said, yes. I'm going to call it Stop, Drop, and Roll. Because it's got nothing to do with fire. It's got everything to do with water. Stop, Drop, and Roll. So I'm going to go through a couple of these passages through this whole story and just kind of walk you through what happened to Paul. And I want to tell you, part of this has to do with the fact that why people get in such a mess and how to get out of it. See, the world today has an easy finds themselves all the time in messes. Now, that's a good English word. There are a couple of other words I could use, but you're not supposed to use those in church, so we won't. But there are messes. People get themselves in, and they get themselves in by a very easy process. And the process is stop, drop, and roll. Say, Pastor, that doesn't make any sense. Well, it will. You just got to read it with me, okay? So here it goes. Acts 27, and I want to start off in verse number 9. It says, now then, much time had been spent, and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over. Paul advised them, saying, men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, the harbor in Crete, which opened to the southwest and northeast in winter there. When the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close to Crete. But not long after, a tempest had arose, called, and I can't pronounce the name of that in that's in my Bible, but I can tell you what it is in definition. It's a nor'easter. You ever heard of that kind of a storm before? Why are y'all looking at me so funny when I say that? Y'all must have lived through a couple of them. Can you imagine being on a ship in one? It says, and when the ship was caught, it could not head into the wind. We let her drive, and running under the shelter of the island called Claudia, we secured the skiff with difficulty. I want to stop right there for just a minute and talk about number one, how people get themselves in the messes in the stop, drop, and roll process. They stop. They stop listening to sound wisdom. I found it so many times working with teenagers that I just use that example because I won't even talk about the time, the numbers, more times I've done with adults. It seems to me that when people stop listening to sound wisdom and sound judgment, things begin to go awry in their lives. Here's one, for instance. Don't get into debt if you can help it. To which my college friends replied, but the TV's expensive, and I can't buy it without a credit card. Can't tell you, here's another one. They know that dating a certain person may cause them to get into questionable circumstances. And the pastor or youth pastor say, if you go out with this person, you're putting yourself in questionable circumstances. And they say, but I love them so much. The Bible says that there is wisdom when you get together with wise people. When you stop listening to wise people, you find yourself heading opposite of wisdom. The Bible says in Proverbs that wisdom is crying out in the streets. Now, you would think that something such precious, that's so wonderful as wisdom, wouldn't have to cry out. People would just flock to wisdom. But I can tell you today, the one thing most people don't want to do is listen. They want to just stop listening to anybody who could give them sound advice, who's going to give them especially godly wisdom. Can I tell you, godly wisdom is a precious thing. And we've got to start treating it like the gold it is. We've got to start remembering people who have lived this Christian life before us have lived this Christian life before us. There just might be a couple of pitfalls they could help us avoid if we would just listen. But it's not in our nature to listen. It's in our nature to be rebellious. It's in our nature to say, well, they don't know what they're talking about. They didn't live in the time I live in. They don't understand temptation. Well, if they understood the world we live in, they would understand it's a different society. It's a different place. They didn't even have a game system when they were growing up. My dad said, yeah, we had a game system. You stacked one block on top of another block on top of another block until it looked like something, and then you knocked it down. That's as simple as it gets. These days, you got to pay $14.95 for a game where you pretend to stack block on top of block on top of block, and then you take a virtual hand and you knock it down. You think I'm kidding. There's a Wii game out there right now called some kind of block game where kids pretend to stack blocks and then knock them down. It even sounds like parents don't even get the ability to mute it. You just knock it. It still makes the same sound. If that's the case, I'm just going out and buying me some blocks. Listen to me. We have got to get back into gaining and listening to sound wisdom and sound advice. Because the moment we stray from that is the moment we start heading in a path we're not going to like. Because you know what happened the next? Because if we avoid godly wisdom and we say no, we stop listening to godly wisdom, the next thing we're going to hear is, I told you so's. And there's nothing worse than an I told you so. In fact, some people don't even want to get godly wisdom because they know they're going to ignore it anyway, and that person's going to end up saying, I told you so. So number one, they stopped listening to godly wisdom. Now listen, everywhere Paul went, not everybody listened to Paul, but I'm going to tell you what, a lot of people did. And even though the Bible says the majority of the people on the ship didn't listen, there were a few who did. So the ship was caught. It says, when they'd taken on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on the Syrian sands, they struck sail and so were driven. Verse 18. And because they were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. First, they stopped listening to godly wisdom. And then they started dropping everything they had. Because here's what I find in the majority of church people. When things start going wrong, they start exhausting every resource they have but prayer. I know people before, they've gotten so in trouble, and they sit down at home and they think, okay, let's think. Now if I give up this and we sell that and I get this and I pick up a second, third job and we might be able to figure this one out. Oh, maybe that's never happened to you. But I'm telling you, when you abandon godly wisdom, you don't just run back. A lot of people don't run back to God. They just start trying to figure out things on their own. Can I tell you something that may not be true for you, but it's true for me? When I don't go to God and I try to fix things on my own, it always seems to get worse. It just does. And, you know, if I'm digging a hole to dig a hole, you know, digging to fill up one thing, I can't dig a hole somewhere else. I got to fill up somewhere else. I've been in a point in my life one time where I borrowed from this account to pay that account, to pay that account, to pay that account, instead of saying, God, today I need this. Would you please provide for this? Am I being clear this morning? I'm telling you, when you just start dropping things, and you start even to the point where sometimes people will even drop church. Oh, we're in so much trouble. I can't make it to church today. This is too important. I can't abandon this to go to church. I don't know what I'm going to do. This could fall apart. Can I tell you something? If it's going to fall apart, it's going to fall apart. The best place to be if something's falling apart is in church. I don't know if I'm going to say that or not. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it because the people at home need to hear it. So can I just bypass y'all and head straight to the camera for just a second? If you're struggling with your marriage, the last thing you need to do is drop church. Come on. Oh, we're having problems. Better stay at home and keep so-and-so happy. Get a gun and force them to come to church. I'll let you borrow my softball bat. Bring them to church. When we have problems, we should hunker down and hide in the home. No, we need to get to the altar and get a hold of God. Hiding in a hole is not going to save you. Dumping everything out. Well, we didn't need that after all. This extra gold, we don't need this. Extra grain, we don't need that. Let's just pitch it all and maybe we'll be saved. Not a single person but Paul in that boat cried out to God. Because sometimes there is nothing, listen, when you're in a mess, there is nothing you can do with your own hands to get out. Nothing. Because everything you try to do will fail. You may get partial relief, but victory is not going to come by you doing it on your own. Can I tell you, I've tried, and it doesn't work. Finally, they're trying to go one way, and their mess causes them to have to roll whatever direction the wind takes them. Can I tell you, the further away from God you get, the further you're going to find yourself being tossed around by everything. You're going to find you're not in control of anything. But there are people out there today that wonder why everything they seem to do tosses them one way or the other, and they never have any more control in their life. In fact, I was told by a young person the other day walking through town, the only thing they thought they would ever have control over their life was how they killed themselves. Even when the people on the boat with Paul, when they thought, and I won't read it for the sake of time, but listen to me. They thought that because it was night and because they didn't want to be drifted anymore, they dropped their anchors and prayed for morning. Because they did everything. But in the morning, they still had to cut anchors because they couldn't be stopped. It was too late. They were already in a mess. Now, the only way out of the mess Paul said was to crash the boat into the rocks and swim the shore. They did it, and they all lived. But they had to go through the torment of going through this whole shipwreck because they stopped listening. They tried to fix things on their own, which didn't make it better. It only made it worse. And in the end, they just rolled wherever they had to go because they were out of control. So, Pastor, if we're in this situation, then how do we get out? Well, it's easy. Stop, drop, and roll. You get in the same way you get out. Sort of. Come on, this is good. Some of you have forgotten stop, drop, and roll. Now you keep thinking about the fireman. And my wife even said, well, did you get a fireman's costume? No, I didn't get a fireman's costume. Stop, drop, and roll. What do you do when you're in the mess and you need to get out? Stop. Stop trying to fix it. Stop trying to dig a hole deeper than you're already in. Just stop. Some of the greatest victories ever to come to the church is when God said, stand still. Listen to me. Some of the greatest victories ever recorded in the Bible was when people stopped trying to fix stuff on their own and listened to the word of the Lord that said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Be still. Moses is standing there. Big sea, big army, cloud. And he goes, I'm stuck. What good's the cloud going to do? And God says, don't turn and fight. God doesn't say, build a boat. He already did that in Genesis chapter 6. You're all remanded back to Bible college. He doesn't tell them to build a boat. Doesn't tell them to build pontoons. He doesn't tell everybody to swim for it. He says, stand still. Be still. Because God can do more in a moment of your silence. I shouldn't have said that, should I? God can do more in a moment of your stillness than you can with all your energy. It was in that moment where God said, stand still, that Moses didn't tell the people to fan an east wind. The Bible says God sent an east wind. What was he doing? Moses, he was standing still. Now, knowing Moses the way I do, Moses was probably standing there going to Aaron, hey, look at that. Look at that. How's that happen? I don't know. But a standing still makes it work. Keep standing still. See what else is going to happen. The east wind blew. Guess what happened? It started a dry path. They stood still. Guess what else happened? The cloud went behind them and the enemy. So the enemy couldn't see where the people were. Look at that. Ain't that something? How's that happen? I don't know. But if standing still makes it work, stand still. Sometimes when you just stop, breathe, rest, and give God a chance to do something in your life, it begins to make a difference. First you stop, then you drop. Let me tell you what, you can get a great further distance on your knees than you can with your feet. Can I tell you, it's been a while since some of us, when we get a headache, go to God first before we go to the medicine cabinet. We go to God first instead of going to the bank. See, I think it's been a long time since some of you have had a miracle like that you forget you can do that. The Bible says that God shall supply. It didn't say if God wasn't busy. Let me encourage you this morning. It doesn't say if it's Easter weekend. It doesn't say at the end of a 12-week revival. It says, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Not according to the weather patterns. Not according to the economic surplus or lack thereof. Not according to the United States bankroll department, but according to his riches and glory. Which if I read my Bible correctly, and I'm pretty sure I'm reading it correctly, if he can pave streets with gold, I'm pretty sure he can pay my electric bill. I'm pretty sure if you need something from God, all you have to do is ask. But when you're running around trying to fix it all yourself, and some of you are killing yourselves trying to do that. Stressing yourself out. Pastor, you don't know my situation. You're right. But I can tell you mine. I've been there when the bills were 3 months past due, and they're threatening to shut it off. I've been there when I didn't know if I was going to have enough money to buy coats for my kids for the winter. I've been there when I needed God to supply for me, when I was too embarrassed to ask my parents, and I knew I was too broke to write a check. And God would send money through the mail. Or God would lay on somebody's heart in the church who knew we needed something, even though we didn't tell them. The Holy Spirit, listen to me, the Holy Spirit still speaks to godly people. And that's why it's important for you and me, when God speaks to us to go bless somebody, we don't go ask other people's opinions about it or go do a background check. You just do it. Because sometimes it may be somebody on this side who can meet the miracle on somebody on this side. Well, Pastor, I don't know them very well, and I'm afraid if I give them the money, they're just going to blow it on PlayStation games. That was a bad example. Pastor, they're just going to go out to eat at McDonald's, and they're just going to waste that money. They're not going to pay. You know, it's not up to you. You be obedient to God. God will take care of them if they waste the blessing. But I guarantee you, if people are really on their knees begging God for help, they're not going to waste it. They're going to shout hallelujah and testify in service about it, because that's the kind of God we serve. And then I've seen God supply needs out of nowhere. Somebody said, well, it looks like the milk's still cold. I lived across the street. I never saw anybody deliver you milk. I don't know where the bags of groceries came from. They're just there. Stop trying to solve the mystery. Start thanking the maker. Because when we drop to our knees, it signifies the idea we know where our source comes from. Believe me, we're not going to go crawling up to the bank on our knees. We need to go to God on our knees. We need to stop. We need to drop and roll with whatever plan God gives us next. Can I tell you, obedience is better than anything you could ever do when it comes to following God. Say, Pastor, what I think God told me to do something, but it sounds crazy. Yeah, that's normal. A lot of times God asks me to do stuff I know I can't do on my own. That's why he asked me to do it, and I do it with him. Paul was sitting there on the ship that night. He came up the next day and said, hey, guys, I got good news. Let's eat all the food left on the ship. Same story. And they're like, we don't know if we're going to make it. He goes, well, there you go. If you don't know you're going to make it, you might as well be full. Remind you of another story about a woman who said, I got enough to make one more meal, then we're going to die. And the prophet of God says, oh no, as long as the rain doesn't fall, that thing's never going to go dry. Sometimes you just need to be obedient to God when he says, listen, now I know God would never tell you to do this, okay? But God's told me before, I want you to find this missionary couple. I want you to give them $100. Now, God, do you not understand that gas is $4 a gallon? God, do you not understand that I still have one child, I shouldn't be mad about that. I got one child still left in pull-ups. And they're getting more expensive. God, if I give my money to this, to the church, or I give my money to this, or I bless somebody with that, I mean, I might need that weed eater later. And God said, did I ask you about something I can supply you with 10 of? Just do it. Do it. Because what happens if you don't? Well, you get right back in that mess of stopping listening to godly wisdom. It starts to cycle all over again. Some of you are in so thick, you're thinking, how do we get out? Well, you get out by obedience to God. Stop doing the mess you're doing. Drop to your knees and ask God for help. And when he tells you what to do, for crying out loud, do it. Stop fighting with God over, well, Lord, can we do that next week? Because I'm really busy and I got company coming. And yep. By the way, I got news for you. I hold you all accountable to the words I say right now. The next time you have company come to your house on a Sunday, bring them to church. Don't stay home just because they're there. I had a friend of mine really convict me about that the other day. He said he had family come in from, I think it was Milwaukee and down there into Tennessee. And he said, they're not saved. And he said, well, we're going to stay at home. And he said, I had a choice. I could either show them I'm a Christian by my actions or just give in because they're around. He says, well, I'm going to church. He said, you can come with me or stay here and watch TV, but you're not keeping me for my God today. Oh, man. So you know what happened? They came with him. Because his relative said, well, we didn't come all this way just to see you leave and go to church. We came to see you, so if you're going to church, we're going with you. Now, I don't know what happened in the church service. He never told me whether or not they gave their life to Christ or not. But the point is, he didn't suffer his relationship or his witness to the world by allowing other people to keep him from being obedient to the call of God that he had to be present together with the body on Sunday. Why? Because that's what the Bible says we're to do when we see signs of the times around. He said, the more you see the day appearing, the more you need to be here. And listen, I'm telling you, the more messes we get into are because we allow other things to keep us from living the way God has called us to live, from doing the things God's called us to do. And then we find ourselves deeper and deeper and deeper where if we just like, I don't know, go on to church. The pastor, is it that simple? Well, obviously, no, it's not that simple. But it's a start. Did you hear me this morning? It's a start. It's a way to move forward. Somebody put it this way one time. When you're in the middle of your circumstance, taking one foot forward is on your way out. And I think sometimes we've got to remember that God's just not throwing us under the bus. A lot of times we throw ourselves under the bus. When we refuse to listen to this word, you hear me, I'm closing. You're almost out of here, but just listen to me. When you refuse to listen to this word, and you start dropping everything in your life, you have to roll with whatever life gives you. But if you can stop trying to fix stuff yourself, drop to your knees, and talk to God again, and then obey and be obedient to roll with whatever he tells you to do, I guarantee you're going to find yourself coming out on the other side. In fact, when they landed on this little island, nobody knew what it was until later in the day they found it was Malta. I don't know what kind of island you would call an island called Malta, but when they called it Malta, it was a testimony of what happens when people cry out to God for answers and God gives them and they obey. Because you know what? Truth is, nobody should have survived that trip. Listen to me. Nobody should have survived that trip if it weren't but for the grace of God. I want you to know there's some things in my life I can look back and I can tell you time after time and after time when I knew I probably should have died. People I was hanging out with that night, we're lucky we all didn't get killed. The places I was at, the accidents I've had. Did you hear me? But not for the grace of God. And a lot of times, when I listened and I obeyed and I prayed, God brought me out of every single one of those situations. And I want you to know if he did it for me, he can do it for you. If we get in the messes, we know a way out. It's through Jesus Christ. So glad you joined us today, but you really should visit in person. Service times are at 10:30 Sunday morning, 6 p.m. on Sunday night, 7 p.m. on Wednesday night. We're located at 582 Rockingham Road, it's on Highway 5 across from Everyday Inn in Bells Falls. You can also visit our website, www.faithchristianag.com. God bless you. Have a great day.